Did he run? Come up here and sit by your daddy, okay? Yeah, you're going to be my lad in the service tonight. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're embarrassed anybody. So all the disciples I've asked to be my disciples tonight, could you raise your hand up in the air? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And preacher, you can be 12, okay? All right, you'll be the good disciple, all right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's take a look at this. And this is the title of this, Little is Much if God is in it. All right, what time do you want me to be done? 9 o'clock? I don't fly out to 9 o'clock. Okay, you'll leave at 6, all right. Little is much if God is in it. How many ever heard that song? Hey, could you come play that for me? Everybody get in your songbooks, page 233, all right? Now, I'm not really a conventional preacher. If you've not figured that out, you've been asleep today. Today I was preaching. It was funny. A guy, before I got my, I announced my thing, he must have worked all night. He was sleeping right back there almost snoring. And afterward, he told me he enjoyed the message. And I asked him which snore. But anyway, little as much if God is in. Could you play that key for us once there? Page 233. You ready? I want you to sing this with me. Ready? Here we go. Ready? On three. 1, 2, 3. In the harp, there's a work. Hark the voice. Little is much. Labor not for wealth nor fame. There's a crown. Think of the words as you sing verse 2. Does the place seem so small? Is it great? And he'll never forget his own. Little is much, labor not. Let's go to verse 4. When the con and our race. My child, well done. Little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth nor fame. It's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Thank you for playing that. You did a great job. Listen, I'm off key pretty much, but you sounded pretty good. Amen? Now think of the words. Little is much if God is in it. That's the title of tonight's message. I'm speaking to Christians tonight, Lord willing. You all know Christ as your Savior. You're serious about the Lord, you wouldn't be here on a Sunday night, all right? And I want to encourage you for 2017. And I'm not just talking about missions here. I'm talking about your involvement and your part of the ministry here at Independent Baptist Church. And I want to say thank you for letting me come, preacher. I'm like that lightning bug that flew into the fan backwards. I'm delighted to be here. Amen. Now, listen, preacher, in your refrigerator is a Christmas gift. Have you showed your wife yet? Make sure she sees that, okay? Now, son, I got a Christmas gift for the family. All right, make sure that your daddy shares that with you and your mama tonight. And your sister and your ugly brother-in-law, but whatever. Anyway, it's a Christmas French silk pie from Village Inn. Man, I tell you, that girl, what was her name? Chloe in training? That was her last name in training. And she, that's her name? What? That was on a tag. And as she was putting that pie in there, you could hear this voice coming out of the box. Eat me. Eat me. So, hope you guys enjoy that and put that away tonight. But I want to make sure publicly that your mom gets a piece of that because your daddy didn't take it all. Okay? Are we good on that? All right. Chapter 1, verse 26. For you see our calling, brethren, that's us, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I think that includes about everybody in here, huh? Look at this next verse. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and all things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, now watch this, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now let's look at that verse for just a moment backwards. How many of you folks have been redeemed in here? Could you raise your hand? Amen? Now that means you've been saved. Okay? So if you've been redeemed after you get saved, if you go the next word backward, sanctification. How many of you folks have ever been sanctified? Got your life cleaned up a little bit, all right? After there's two of us, all right? Well, hey, this, you know, man, when I got saved, I thought, yeah, I'm glad I'm going to go to heaven. But boy, did I need scrubbed up by the Holy Spirit a lot, amen? And God's Word. Then after I got a little bit of sanctification, I got cleaned up for God, then righteousness is the next word. Look at that word there. Righteousness is God's Word. God's man teaching you God's way. Righteousness is the Holy Spirit working on your heart to do the right thing at the right time and the right way for God. So far, so good? Then the word before that is what? Wisdom. You better have enough common sense. After God has teaching you righteousness and cleaned you up and saved you, God wants to use you. Verse 26, brethren, that's us. You're being called. God wants to use you. Well, I'm not real smart. Well, take that off. Not real wise. I'm not mighty. Take that off. I'm not noble. Take that off. But God uses a little term in verse 28 that caught me off guard. The base things of the world. Everywhere in Scripture, the word base talks about lewd, sinful fellows that would come against anything that God was doing. You can check it out through Scripture. But this base is different. You don't need to Google it. If you're in the habit of writing in your Bible, you can underline the word base and draw out into the column and write this word. This is what it means. Little. The little things of the world and things that are despised. That's what God uses. And I started to look at God's Word, and it's full of all kind of little things. But I'm only going to talk about three things. Three little things that God used. One to save a nation, one to save an army, and one to bring us salvation as the bread of life. I want you to catch this with me. In 2017, I want you to understand little as much if God is in it. And I want to encourage you that God wants to bless you all in a great way. And let's take a look at our first thought tonight. And we're going to look at a little shrub, a little stone, and a little snack lunch. All starts with S, a little alliteration there going on, all right? And you're going to be my lad tonight, okay? I'm not going to hurt you. Not going to make fun of you. I'm going to make you hold some baskets of bread when we get done, okay? Can you do that for me? All right. That's good. And you're known as the lad. Don't forget that, all right? So let's go to Exodus chapter 3 tonight, first of all. And we talk about the little things that God used. And I want us to take a look here. Moses had made a mess of things. And tonight, as we get into this thought process, God is after your hearts. He's not after your wallet. He's not after your time. He's not after your life. But first of all, He's after your heart. And if the heart's right where it needs to be, has a right relationship with God, and you're walking with God, it all gets better from there, okay? So I just want to encourage you. Now, Moses had made a mess of things 40 years before. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 3, starting to get things right, let's look at verse 1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock onto the backside of the desert. He come to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. Now, God used this shrub to deliver a message to Moses to save a nation. Now, let's take a look at three things about this shrub. Now I want you to understand something. That this bush, there's even bushes up here. Like there are these bushes here. They're little, but you probably can see them. Let's say, preacher, you and I go to Walmart tonight, and we buy some hot dogs and some buns and some potato chips, and, you know, and some heartburn medicine. And you stay back and you get that piano and organ outside there and set it on fire in a parking lot. Now, we're not going to do that, okay? But what if? When you and I come back, that would be a hump of ashes, and we'd have the hot dog sticks ready, and we'd roast some hot dogs. However, when Moses saw this bush burning, this shrub, it was not consumed. There's like a gas line going to it. And it's, the leaves are on fire, the tree is on fire, but yet it's not consumed. And when I read this, this little shrub, and what's going on, let's take a look. Number one, it was consistent or constant in its burning. I have a question. When he saw this bush, it says here with us in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. The bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It was constant in its burning. It was consistent in its burning. Can I say this as a Christian in 2017? Like that little shrub, you need to be consistent. You need to have your light, your flame, shining for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Muslims taught me one thing in Trinidad and Tobago. They said, your religion is not taught until it's caught. We watch you Christians. We watch you Bible believers. All right? If you're the real deal, and we know that you are real, that'll be the biggest testimony to us and all your pamphlets and all your preaching. Can I say this? The book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says this, Jesus preaching. He says this, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can I ask you this question? Does your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ in a consistent manner, watch this, to make a difference in the world around you? The second thing about this shrub is this, that it caught Moses' attention. Look at verse 3 in my text here in Exodus 3. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is burnt. Does your spirit, does your life, does your testimony, now use this word deportment, that's a military, how you handle, how you dress, how you respond. Does your life catch the attention of the world that is around you? When I first went to plant that church in Australia, we was in our house for a week. And the first day in that house, I had a Baptist preacher show up and tell me to go back to the States. He didn't want me there. And I, in a nice way, said, well, you get on your side of the mountain, I'll get on mine. And what I attract here will never, your people won't be attracted to that because I don't even have them believe in getting saved. But anyway, we didn't get into that. But the next day, as I'm putting screens in my house that I'd rented, a guy looked over the fence and said, hey, Yank, I heard you singing. You're from the States, aren't you? Yes, yes. What's your name? Dan DeLong. What are you doing here, mate? And I said, well, I'm a pastor going to start a church here. He goes, oh, no. He said, I just moved up from Sidley a month ago, and I had a United pastor that was my neighbor for 8 years. I can't get away from you guys. And I said, well, listen, God may have a message for you. And you know what? He watched me. And I would invite him to church. He did not come for the first year. About 15 months in, he decided to come with his wife to church. He said, I had to watch to see if he was real. Can I encourage you, folks? I'm not preaching about me tonight. But not only should your light, should it be consistent? Your light, does it catch people's attention? And he said, "Because I came because I've listened to your wife and your daughter and you guys talk in your house, talk in your yard. There's no cussing. There's no swearing. There's no yelling. And you're singing these songs. You got this music playing, that organ and violin and piano that your wife and daughter play. It's always this God-type music," he said. We wanted to come see what this is. I think that's what God wants us to be. Amen. And this shrub lit up for Moses because God wanted to use Moses to save his nation out of slavery. And he needed that leader. It was consistent in its burning. It caught Moses' attention. But here's the third thing and final thing about this shrub. It contained the voice of God. You stay around this church with the preaching of Pastor Terry McGovern and the leadership here and men I've talked to and known for years. I tell you what, you're gonna hear about the Lord. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's going to work on your life. Look what it says in verse 4. And then the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, and God called him out of the mist. Hey, Moses, I want you to lead my slavery nation out of Egypt into the promised land. And he started making excuses and stuttering all over the place. Is that not true? And he said he couldn't do it. He says, well, your brother's coming. He'll speak for you. How are they going to know that you've sent me? Just tell them, I am has sent you. My Holy Spirit will do the work. Well, we'll never make it. You're going to make it. Well, how so? Well, you got what's that? It's a rod. Throw it down. It's a snake. Pick it back up. Turns back to a rod. See your hand? Put it in here. Yeah, pull it out. Leprosy. Put it back in. Do you need any more proof? Oh. And he said, let's go. And I'm going to fast forward this time because of time. And how many plagues later? I did this in Philadelphia in Pinachetti's church, and the guy said 12. 10 plagues later, on the other side of the Red Sea, he's standing there. He turns and sees Pharaoh coming after him. And Moses' knees start doing this. Oh, we're going to all die. A weak moment, huh? God said, stop worrying. I've called you to do this. From that little shrub to here, I'm going to take care of business. And you all know the rest of the story. Little as much if God is in it. God used Moses to save a nation, but he had to use that little shrub to get his attention, to call him into service. I hope you're listening tonight. The Holy Spirit works that way. It may be me preaching, it may be him preaching, it may be him preaching, it may be Dr. Doodledigger preaching, it may be the Sunday school teacher, it may be a testimony at the microphone tonight from a layman or from a normal person. We're all normal, amen. A little lady may say something, a young man may say something, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you. Don't set that aside. God is at work. Number two, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to talk tonight not about a little shrub, but now let's go about a little stone. Little as much of God is in it. And how many believe in here that things work out the way God wants them to work out? And I'll use the term, they had an accident. But I don't believe there's accidental meetings. I don't think there's accidental things that take place. I believe God is at work and we need to be keen to the fact, to be a witness to people. I use this next thought as a little stone. I'm dealing with a teenager here that's not too smart. How many's ever had teenagers in here? All right. Now girls, I'll give them a little hedge on this. They're pretty smart. About the age of 3, they start flirting. We guys, we stay dumb that way to about 21, right? But I want to let you know here that teenagers sometimes do dumb things. We're talking about our moments of stupidity at Fairhaven, I was preaching a service like this one night, and somebody just got me a Rush Limbaugh tie, and back in the 80s, and real nice Christmas tie, and when you push the button, they would play, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell Rock. And I preached that night, and I got down front to take the invitation, and I did this, and the lady came forward crying, can I help you? Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. That was bad. Another night I baptized a lady in the baptismal. It's way up high. She didn't tell me she had a wig on. And I took her down and I pulled her back up. All I had in my hand, not her head. Her body slipped out and I just had her wig. And the church went nuts, all right? Now, those are not the little things I'm talking about that God uses, all right? But God's going to bring things in your life. Do not pass them up. The little stone. David, in his stupidity, was going to take on Goliath. Oh, did he have faith. Oh, he loved the Lord. He was after God's own heart. And he'd taken care of a lion and a bear just a few months before. Now he's ready to go take on Goliath. And everybody was running and hiding, but not David. You'd read the story. We don't have time tonight, but he's the only one to mention God in this scenario. He's the only one to say that servant will go. I mean, I've taken care of the bear and the lion. What is this uncircumcised Philistine? For 40 days he's come out and cursed and sworn the God of heaven, and you boys is hid behind the rocks and stones. I'll go take care of him. And on his way to take care of Goliath, he's got his sling in his hand. And he's got his bag here, his bullet bag, his stone bag. And as he goes, gets ready to fight him, don't even have a stone to sling at the giant. Man, I'm telling you, he's making a mistake. But little as much if God is in it. I want you to see this with me. On his way to fight that giant, he had to cross the creek of Elah. And going across that creek of Elah, he reached down in there in chapter 17, verse 40. Look at me and see what the Bible says here. And he took his staff in his hand, he chose him 5 food stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And he chose him 5, what type of stones? Smooth. Now, folks, underline that word smooth. That also can be translated shepherd's stone. It's a round stone that'll travel true like a marble, not an oblong rock like my hand. Now, how many's ever skipped stones across a creek or across a pond? You can do it in Alaska about year-round and get it all the way across with this ice, amen. But I'm talking when the water's running. Now, my mom, at the age of 50, my twin brother and I, we all went fishing at a creek. And she loved to fish. And she started skipping rocks. And I mean, that old 50-year-old lady bent over there, and that rock would dance 12, 13 times, sticking the mud across the creek there. My twin brother and I just pick up a rock, we'd throw them. We was like 18, the hardest we could throw them. Chunk. I'd get 1 or 2 skips. Man. And she'd do her little victory dance there on the beach, you know, making fun of us. We'd throw harder, and it would sink deeper, quicker. She said, boys, you don't know what a skipper stone is. I reached down and get a flat rock. We did. We'd pick it up. She said, now look at it close. Yeah, it's stone. Yeah, I'm looking at it. She said, which side's kind of rounded? Well, Mom, this side's a little bit. Well, turn that over and let that kiss the water. That'll give you 3 or 4 more skips. She said, boys, your problem is you know what a skipper stone looks like. See, David, he knew what a shepherd stone looked like. And he's going to take on the giant. He didn't have his Texas calculator. He could not Google where to find these things. So he's going to be in a mess. But he was right in the middle of God's will. And God used a little stone to bring down a giant to save his army. Let's take a look at that stone, number one. Can I say this? That stone was in the right position. The right position. And what does that mean to us? You're here tonight. You're in this church. You're in position to be used by God. Now, as on the right day of the right battle with the right giant against the right Philistine army, the right lad, the right David, the right man after God's own heart, we're all on the same day, same time, same battle. How does that happen? God's in charge. He put those stones in his little pouch. And then when he put that stone in that pouch, he didn't get a stone finder going up and down that creek. He didn't get on his hands and knees and search. As you study the scriptures, he keeps his eyes on that giant, reaches down in there, grabs those 5 stones, puts them in that bag, pulls the first one out, and lets it fly. Are you in position to be used of God? Or do you have that petty sin? Or do you have that petty worry? Do you have that thing that holds you back? Do you have that thing that won't let you step out and do God's will? Can I tell you, God's got you in position in this church because He wants to use you to do something. Maybe cross a Red Sea or take down a giant for Him. Amen? Secondly, not only was it in position, number two, the stone was in preparation. What do you mean by that? Is that stone, God could have just created it right there. But as it tumbled down that mountainside, as it come through that valley, the water, the sand, the knock, the rocks are knocking against these stones, rounding them, preparing them. And I'm telling you, running water in the Bible speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And still water in the Bible speaks of the Word of God. And you take the Word of God as Pastor McGovern preaches it, as this church teaches it. You take that power of the Holy Spirit, that preaching and teaching. Tell me, does that work on your heart? Yes, it does. Does that take off those rough edges? Yes, it does. Does that get you to step out by faith? Yes, it does. So He has you in position to be used. And you've got to get rid of those little sins that so easily beset you. And when you do, then you have to get in the mode. And you know what? God's preparing me for something bigger and better for Him. Amen? By the way, folks, if you're not moving forward in your Christian life, you're not moving forward. All God's people said. That's a Warren Wiersbe statement, by the way. It's not a hard statement. If you're not moving forward to God, you're not moving forward. And when you stop moving forward as a Christian, usually what starts happens? Oh, I'm just a holding on preacher. No, you're moving forward or you're floating backwards. And I'm telling you, David here, these little stones teach me a lesson. And lastly, the thing I get from the stones is this. They were powerless until they got into the shepherd's hand. And when he got a hold of that stone, you all know, he took that thing and he slung it. Now that giant for 40 days said he would never bow down to the God of the Israelites. Is that true? And when that stone hit him, which way did Goliath fall? Forwards. not backwards, he fell forwards. And all the Jewish boys behind David said, "Say what? Oh yeah." Pulled those swords out. He's a bowing down. He's knocked out. Charge! On the other side of the line, the Philistines go, "Mama!" And they took off running. Study your Bible. That's the quick version of it. David kind of stood there. Better kill this fellow. The Bible says he got ahead that day. Amen? He got stuck in. He got the king's daughter. Never had to pay taxes again. He had a pretty good day there at the office. You know why? Because God had his heart. He saw that giant. And God used a little stone to bring him down to save an army. Now let's go to John chapter 6. Our last thought tonight is this. God used a little shrub to deliver a message to Moses to deliver a nation. God used a little stone and got all of David's heart to deliver an army from destruction of the Philistines. Now, thirdly and lastly, God used a little snack lunch from a lad in John chapter 6. It tells us in verse 13 of John 6, "Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 loaves which remained over, or barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that they had eaten." Jesus had been preaching long and said, "Now, Andrew, Philip, I need to feed this bunch." And the bean counters started getting their calculators out. And Philip says there in verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not a sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Send them all home. No McDonald's out here. No Burger King. No Cracker Barrel. Just send them on home. They get their own. I know they're hungry, but, you know, we can't feed them. And a little boy about the size of the preacher's son was sitting there in verse 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Now this little lad had a little snack lunch, a little sack lunch. And in that he had 5 little pieces or biscuits of barley bread. Now, how many folks in here, because we probably got some health food, I know we do, Mrs. Lowe's in here. How many folks have ever drank barley juice? That green stuff. Did it do anything for you? Me neither, all right? And how many's ever eaten old hard bread, 2 or 3 days old? All right, now how many's ever had sardines in here? Who likes sardines? How many's ever been around people that sweat sardines? In New Guinea, we have pinfish. They eat it every day. And they sweat it every day. When they take a bath once a year, your whole church smells like a can of sour sardines. And every year for gifts, I would always give guys cologne. And my wife would give ladies perfume. Our church would smell better. But the point is, my dad liked sardines. I didn't. And he would do an Amish milkshake. He got his teeth pulled. And here's what he would do. Take a quarter pack of crackers, saltines, 6 ounces of milk, and 2 cans of tuna, chicken of the sea sardines. Put them in that blender and hit blend. Little eyeballs going around the glass in there. And he would puree that thing. And he would pop that lid off. And he would drink that thing as fast as he could. And my twin brother and my sister, Mama wasn't around, and he would belch on purpose. And this green sardine cloud would come out. Oh, I hated that. That's what this boy brought to eat. And he brought that with him. And he was close enough to hear Jesus ask him, "We got anything to feed this crowd of 5,000 men and women and children besides?" And Philip said, "Nah, we don't have any money in the bank." And Andrew's making fun of him. "He's brought his little snack lunch to give to you, Jesus." Nice little thought, but not real long in intelligence. He's making fun of the boy. Let's look at the lad, the Lord, and the leftovers, can we? Number one. I want you to never forget this. The lad gave what he had. Nowhere in Scripture will you find God ever asking His people to give anything to His ministry unless they already have it. And this little boy could not think real straight because he was not real mature, but God somehow had worked on his heart, and he said, "I'm just going to give what I have. Jesus, here's all the bread. Here's all the fishes. It's yours." One man made fun of it. Now watch this. My Bible tells me in the book of Philippians that Paul says you gave to my ministry once and again, not because I ask, but God put on your heart to give, that it may be added to whose account? Your account. And then my Bible tells me, press down in the book of Luke, and when you give and what God puts on your heart, it's pressed down, shaken together, and it's going to what? Run over. And I believe this little boy had a heart that he said, I'm going to give this to you, Jesus. I don't understand everything, Jesus, but I know you can make it happen. I'm giving what I have. God used a little snack lunch. That was the lad. Now let's look at the Lord. Here's the Lord. Now don't miss this. Probably the most important point of the message tonight. I believe the Lord's already at tomorrow in my life. I believe He's that way in your life. Look, join me in verse 6, please, of chapter 6. And this He, Christ, said to prove Him Christ, for He, Christ, Himself, Christ, knew what He, Christ, would do. Before the boy offered his snack lunch, the Lord knew what He was going to do. The Lord is already at tomorrow. God wants to bless you folks. God wants to give you. God wants to just encourage you in a great way. And I'll tell you what, you give what God's given you. You give what you have, your time, your talent, your treasure. And then you give what God puts on your heart to give. And I want you to understand this. God will bless it. I'm not preaching to give to get. I've been through this for 42 years. And I stand amazed before you tonight how God has taken care. God has taken care. And the thing is, it says seek, ask, or ask, seek, and knock. And you just keep doing that. I guarantee God's going to bless. Amen. The last thing is this, is the leftovers. Look at verse 13. There were 12 baskets of fragments of leftover bread. Now, what was going to happen with those 12 baskets? Scholars on this side of the aisle say that the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible doesn't say that. On the other side of the aisle, the scholars would say that each of the 12 baskets were for each of the 12 disciples, that they may take it and eat and be blessed in their ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's just stop right there. It doesn't say that. True? Would you give Judas a basket if you know what he was about to do? How about Philip now that you know how he was thinking in his faith? How about Andrew making fun of the kid? Me neither. Here's what I personally think happened. The Scripture does not say, but this is my opinion. Okay? Is this okay? I just want you to see this. Could you come up here as the lad? Could you disciples bring me a songbook, please? All you disciples that I've seen. And here comes the one with the mustache is the old one. You guys stand back. He's the old man. Okay. Hold your hand out there. That's a basket. Thank you. And you go have a seat, disciple. And here comes another disciple. Looks a lot like your dad. Okay. And he's got his basket. Here's the young disciple. Okay. Here's the one that eats too much. Is that Thomas or Bartholomew? I don't know. But anyway, I'm just teasing you. And so, dude, no. And there's that disciple. Go get your seat. And another disciple. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. All right, come on. Eight disciple. Nine disciple. 10 disciple. 11 disciple. I got too many disciples. The other ones. Well, I need one more. The one in the blue ski coat. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. I need one more. Get this guy here. He's dying. Thank you. This is what I believe. When the Bible says pressed down, shaken together, you give to God, He's going to give it back. Is that true? Now, I believe, is there any Jews in here? I said this once and one got mad at me. All right. That I believe God may give this back to this boy. And Paul writes that you give once again as God's led you. It's not added to my account. Paul says it's added to whose? Your account. I think he may give that boy those 12 baskets and he's stumbling home. Hey, mama, look what I got. He may have stopped one being a good Jewish boy. Don't drop him. He may have sold about half of them on the way home. Am I right? Have a seat. I said this in Minneapolis, and the guy, he was so mad afterward. Good Jew, amen. This boy gave what he had. And I believe with the leftovers, we don't have God's blessings in our life because we hold back our snack lunches. We don't have faith enough to pick up those stones. We don't have the vision and heart to see that God has been working on our hearts for years. When that shrub begins to burn, little as much if God is in it. If God will use a little snack lunch, use a little stone, use a little shrub, He will use things in your life in this church to make a difference in this world. As you close your Bibles, I was in Trinidad and Tobago. James Hoffmeister will tell you this. He was with this on me. He helped me for 10 weeks visiting. I would help him. He would help me as we started our church there. For 10 weeks, we went calling before we had our first service. We had 100 people promised they were going to come. I rented enough tables and chairs. We had a basement and a house we rented about the size of this part of the auditorium over here. We had it set up and tables were folded. We'd rented, had enough food with us to feed 100 people. 9:30 came that morning. We're set up. I had Hanif with me and Joelle and their wives. They helped me do this. Hoffmeister run his own church about an hour away. And Sandy's playing the organ at 9:30. Selena's sitting there at the age of 3. Nobody comes to the church service at 9:30. And they weren't Baptists. Nobody was there at 9:35. Nobody came at 9:40. At 9:45, a little boy, 8 years old, stuck his head in the back door. He had all his teeth were missing but one. And he said, "Is this where the Yanks start in the church?" "Yeah, just come on in." And I preached to him and Selena, plan of salvation. And just like I'm preaching to you, and he raised his hand. He wanted to get saved. He said, "I don't understand it, but I want to go to heaven." And Hanif led him to the Lord 30 minutes later. I took him home. He just lived about a half mile up the street, because I'm not quite that far. And I took him home, and he lived with his grandma. His mother had abandoned him and went to New York City. His mom was an Africaner, and she owned a chicken feed business about the size of your platform behind her house. She didn't come to church on Sunday mornings. That's when she did most of her business. So I dropped her grandson off. I said, "I want to thank you for letting him come." She said, "Hey, a preacher, just stay right there. I made you some homemade orange pop in a Pepsi bottle." Missionary's nightmare, okay? Drink it or not drink it, all right? And I always carried Coke with me at that time. When you drink something or they give you something to eat and you don't want to embarrass them, always have Coke around you. It will kill it, okay? And so I had one in the car, and she gave that to me, and she popped that cork out of there, and warm orange pop, and I was drinking it, and I said, "I appreciate this." And she said, "Listen, preacher, you know, will you pray for my chicken feed business?" "Yes." "Now, I'm a Christian woman, and I'll pray for your church and let God work on our hearts." "Oh, okay, no problem." I don't know what that was about. So I went back and prayed for her one time that week. Next Sunday came, that little boy come with 8 of his friends. Man, we quadrupled in attendance. A month later, we got about 30 kids coming. And then teenagers started to show up. And then about a month after that, some adults started to show up. And within a year, we're running over 100. I mean, man, they're coming to hear me preach, Brother Terry. I mean, I got it going on. God is blessing. And Pat Creed come to preach for us. He was the director for the Caribbean there. And we had revival service, our first one. We had 13 adults get saved on a Friday night. Our church was started the next week, and we're running over 100. And that lady started coming to church. Now, she would sit in the back. She couldn't get down, because she couldn't get up. So we had a special chair for her to lean up against the wall, high chair, big tall chair. And see, I'd be preaching, and she'd wave that hanky. "Hey, man, preacher, park right there, preacher." You know. And when we handed that church over to them, Joel and Hanif, Arapaho Bible Baptist Church, is still going today. Gino Sharp was just there preaching last year. They've got 2 acres of land. They've got their own building. They run a little over 100 people. And God's blessing that thing. But when I got ready to leave to come back to the States, after 12 months, she said, "Come by and see me." And I did. Now, by the way, she had paid for all the block for the church. And she paid to put the roof on that church. I don't know where she got her money, but I found out that day. She said, "Preacher, boy, God's blessed the church." "Yeah, He has. Boy, it's great." She said, "Preacher, you've done a great..." "I sure have, man. God's blessed me." But she said, "You know, it's more than you. Remember I said, pray for me?" "I did, yeah." "And I prayed for you. And God put it on my heart to have everybody to come to your church service, every kid under the age of 12, I'd knock a dollar off the bag of chicken feed when they bought it from me. Every teenager, I knocked $2 off. Every adult, I knocked $5 off. I couldn't keep in chicken feed. And she said, do you think they come to hear you preach? Or do you think they come to save their money on the chicken feed? Oh. She said, I tell you, the day I stopped giving them discounts on the chicken feed, your attendance would have went right back down to nothing. I go, oh, man, why did you tell me this? She said, I want to tell you this, little as much if God is in it. God put on my heart to do it. I thought I was going to lose my shirt. And I ended up ordering after 6 months an extra truckload of chicken feed per week. That's why that building's there. That's where we're at today in our ministry here. God takes the little things and makes much of it. You know what, folks? When that comes into your life and your ministry, you better gravitate to how God works because He wants to bless you. Amen? Little as much. Now, if He'll use a bag of chicken feed, a lady on the backside of nowhere, He'll use my prayer life. I'll tell you what, I'll sell bags of chicken feed every day to get people saved. How about you? Amen? Now, you think about that. That little shrub. That little stone. That little snack lunch. And the next time God comes and wants you to do something, don't you stutter and make excuses like Moses. You have the faith of a David and a heart of a lad to just give God what you got, and you watch God give the increase. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we thank You tonight for the opportunity You've given us to come to this church to worship You. I pray that we can take these simple thoughts, not only about missions and the PNG Bible Project, but Independent Baptist Church here in Anchorage, Lord, that as we go into the year of 2017, if you'll use Moses and you'll use David and you'll use this lad, God, you'll surely use us. Let us be sensitive, Lord, to have our light shine for You as in this part of the shrub. Let us be in position to be prepared as in the testimony of that stone. And let us be given as this lad gave that snack lunch. Let us give what You've given us. Let us give it back, not counting the cost, but by faith, giving You what we have, knowing that You will bless, You will give the increase. I'm not talking financially, I'm talking spiritually, I'm talking about blessed lives. And Father, we pray these things in Your name. Pastor Terry.